John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. This is one of the four accounts of the resurrection of Christ that are in the Gospels, and each account focuses on a different thing. Here we'll see the prominent place that Mary Magdalene has in this account, and we'll hear about her as we explore this together. So listen to the Word of God. Early in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went running to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there in its place, separate from the linen. He saw the cloth still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene. Pause. Gotcha. We're going to edit this out. Thank you, Sam. Okay. She cried. She turned toward him and cried. Now I got all the artistic license in the world. Yep.
And so then I'm going to go in, I'm going to delete right before that happened, and you're going to start right in. Okay, so give me like a 3 seconds, so I'm going to like count down 5, 4, 3.
She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we need your word the way a tree needs water. And we thank you that our roots are planted in your word and that you sustain us by them. Father, take away any heaviness of heart, any doubt, any fear, any disturbance of mind that would keep us from receiving with faith that which you wish to pour into us today. We know that we need the help of your Holy Spirit. So give us ears to hear and eyes to see so that we can rejoice and celebrate in your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a beautiful story, and the spotlight is on Mary Magdalene. And the angels and Jesus ask Mary an interesting question, a question that might seem a little frustrating if you were to hear it. I mean, maybe you've heard the question before, why are you crying? Your sister may have asked you, why are you crying? I barely even hit you. Your mother may ask, why are you crying? Did your sister hit you again? I heard of a woman who was asked the question, why are you crying? Her husband left the house in a huff and slammed the door on the way to work, didn't say I'm sorry, just like usual, and went off, but something happened that day at work, and he decided to turn over a new leaf. He figured he'd better change his course fast. So as soon as work was over, he went straight to the florist and then to the chocolate shop, got the most expensive flowers he could get and the best chocolate he could get. He wouldn't even ring his own door, walk into his own house, but rang his doorbell. And when his wife came, he shoved the flowers under her nose, and she burst into tears. And he was expecting it to be followed with a hug and a kiss, like, I really got to her heart, but the hug and kiss never came, and he realized, uh-oh. So he asked her, why are you crying? That question, why are you crying? She said, oh, it's been a terrible day. Junior Peabody wrote all over the wall with permanent marker. Your mother came over. The IRS called. And now you showed up drunk. So, sometimes we get asked that question, why are you crying? And who knows what it could be referring to. And why are the angels asking Mary, why are you crying? Isn't it obvious? She's in a tomb. She's looking for the body of her best friend, and all she wants to do is honor him and say goodbye. The angels might have asked her, just because maybe somehow they didn't understand the human heart. But what about Jesus? Why did he ask her, why are you crying? He knows. Was heaven playing a trick on her? Were they teasing her? No, they weren't. They knew that there was more to the story, that there was a surprise waiting for Mary, and that there was a reason to have her tears wiped away. Well, these are the three ways that Mary Magdalene responds. Now, I know she's not the only disciple in the story, but the spotlight is on her. John purposefully puts her heart and her reaction and her actions as a centerpiece of the story, and she does these three things. She cries, she hugs, and she goes. She cries to show her gratitude, to show her love. She's not doing it intentionally. She can't help it. But her tears indicate that she is a woman who's lost something very special to her. We see from the other Gospels, from other Gospel accounts, that Mary was once the victim of seven demons. Jesus cast seven demons out of her. Now, I know a lot because I've been to seminary, so I must know a lot, right? And I should know pretty much everything you need to know about the Bible and how to talk about it. So I should know just what it's like to be possessed by seven demons. You know, some people might think I do know what it's like to be possessed by a demon, but the honest truth is I don't. So I had to Google it. And Google is amazing because on the internet, anybody in the world can ask a question, and because there's websites like Quora.com, anybody in the world can answer, whether you have a PhD or ADHD or ACDC or whatever degree or credential you have or don't have, you can answer. So, whimsically, I typed it in. What's it like to be possessed by demons? Now, I know it's a serious issue, and I know it's a serious experience, and I was really surprised by what somebody typed in for all the world to see, 16,000 responses or views. And this person talked about losing their personality, losing their emotions, and not being able to care anymore, not caring about anybody else or themselves, not even caring if somebody else lived or died. But somehow this person missed who they used to be and cried out to God for help. Now, I can't tell you if this is a true story or not. This is just what somebody wrote. But it was so interesting. The person said, after God touched my heart, I could cry again. And that's what God gave to Mary. He gave her a heart that could burst open in emotion. She was a woman who was once held down and tormented. hurt socially, emotionally, probably financially, probably in her sense of status in terms of religion. She probably was seen as a woman with something wrong with her, and Jesus set her right. Not only that, she became part of the inner circle. She was close personal friends with the most famous and highly regarded woman in all of Christianity, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She wasn't just a woman who was once a little bit off and a little bit out on her own and a little dark and gloomy and full of despair or who knows what. And then she became clean. She now became one of the inner circle. And all this was what Jesus did for her. So when she lost her best friend, she lost someone that was really important to her, and she cried. But then Jesus spoke to her. Jesus called her name. Theologians have a term for this. They call it the effectual call of God. You see, Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or myself could tell you to trust in Jesus and let him into your heart and give your heart to him and give your life to the Lord, that Jesus is calling you. But you won't hear it unless Jesus calls you and calls you by name. It's something that only the Lord can do, and only the Lord can do it for you. And that's what Jesus did to Mary. She was looking right at him, but when he called her name, she knew it was him. The next thing we see, she's got her arms wrapped around him. I assume that she ran and hugged him. And if you've ever been hugged by a child who really knows you and really loves you and knows that you love that child, whether it's a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, or your own child, then I think you can imagine the way I see that hug taking place. A strong hug. The kind of hug that my kids used to give me when I was trying to work on something, and they would attach themselves to my leg. And so I had to walk around with a child attached to my leg for a while. A strong hug. Jesus had to tell her, don't hold on to me. And the Greek here is don't hold and hold and hold on to me. Don't keep holding on to me. Mary was really hugging her Savior. Now, you and I probably know that we can't just walk down the street, meet somebody for the first time, and run and give them a hug. We usually hug people that we know want to be hugged by us. Someone that we know accepts us. So when Mary cried, she was showing that she loved the Lord and she was thankful to him. And when she hugged, she was showing that she knew she was accepted by the Lord. And then she went. Jesus called 12 disciples together and he called them apostles. The word apostle means sent. Because they would be the ones to share the good news of Christ all around the world so that 6,000 plus miles away here in Alaska, we could hear about Jesus. 2,000 years ago and half a world away, the message has spread through the whole world because people were sent, his disciples, his apostles. Mary, however, becomes the first apostle in a sense. She's the first one who's given the command, go and tell. She is thankful, she loves him, she knows she's received by him, and she's given the mission to spread the word that he's risen from the dead. Not only that, but that he's ascending to the Father. You see, Mary couldn't keep holding on to Jesus because it was going to get even better. Her tears turned into joy when she saw him, but it's even better than just a Jesus who's come out of the tomb, who's here to keep walking and preaching and healing and doing the things he's done. It's going to get better because he's going away. He's going up to the right hand of power, as he called it, the right hand of the Father, where he will receive all things, and his name is above every name. And from there, he prays for you and he prays for me. From there, he sends the Holy Spirit that comes into you and comes into me. The Holy Spirit that does even greater works than Jesus did. He said, because I go to the Father, you'll do even greater works than I've done. And so, Mary has that incredible task of telling the good news that Christ is risen and that his power is here for us. So you and I are seeing the nutshell of the gospel, a life that's set free from darkness, a Savior who's a best friend who receives us, who we know receives us, and a mission to tell about everything that he's done, all because Christ has risen from the dead and Mary is the example, a woman who had a hard, hard experience inside that nobody could understand, that Jesus set her free from. And a woman who came from, who knows, maybe being an outcast to being in the inner circle, close to Jesus and close to those who were close to him. And a woman who had the privilege and distinction of being the first to tell that the time is here. So, why are you crying? Today you may get this message in a time when you're filled with joy, and it may be a time that's heavy-hearted for you. I think about all the people who are grieving from the COVID virus, and I hesitate to even bring it up because I don't want to make it any worse than it already is, and I don't want to bring the focus away from the Lord's victory. But I just heard this very day about a friend of mine that I used to be my favorite fishing buddy in Iowa, and his wife just lost a dear friend to this virus. Many people in this situation can't even have a proper funeral, can't gather together, can't hug their distant relatives and cry on one another's shoulders. So if someone were to ask you why you're crying, it may feel like a cruel thing to say. And if an angel were to ask you why are you crying, or if Jesus were to ask you why are you crying, it may feel like a cruel question. But heaven doesn't ask you that question to taunt you today. Heaven asks you that question because there's a surprise you don't know about. I really want to become a good preacher, a better preacher. I want to become strong and powerful in explaining the things of the Scripture. And I wish I could powerfully express to you what it's going to be like when the sky rolls up like a scroll, when heaven and earth disappear, and when Jesus sits on the big throne and judges all the nations, and when we're standing in our resurrected bodies singing with a choir of billions. I wish I could put words to that that would make you feel it. I don't think that I can. But I can tell you that if you were to get a glimpse of that, then no matter how dark your grief is, there would be some question asked from heaven to you. Why are you crying? If you only knew, if you could only see the surprise that's waiting for you. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we will be encouraged knowing that Jesus is interceding for us and that we will finish the race no matter what we encounter. May God be with you on this day of resurrection. Amen.